privilege to introduce our speakers for the day. Representing our classroom teaching staff is Kathy Pepper. Now, I want you to know that we get up in front of students all the time, and you kind of lose your nervousness about that. You get kind of used to it. Standing up in front of you guys is a different deal. But she's agreed to do it, and I really appreciate that. I know she'll do a fabulous job. She'll take the first part of the lesson, and then following up on that is another part of our teaching staff. You may not realize one of the hats that Elder Bogus wears. He's our superintendent of education for our conference, and so he has so many responsibilities. He's going to finish up our lesson for us today, and we appreciate both of them.
Before I get started, I have one more thing to say about the mission trip. I didn't go on the mission trip, but I had a daughter who did. And the first night of the evangelistic series, I don't know how long prior to the opening, she found out she was in charge of one of the VBS meetings. It might have been a week, but she was still absolutely scared out of her gourd the first night. And about 2 hours prior to her having to stand up in front of everyone, she was on Facebook, and I asked her how things were going, and she told me she was scared to death. Those weren't her words, those are my words. But I told her that she would do fine if she relied on God, and that at the end of 10 days, she would come out a different person. And I am here to tell you that after 10 days, she came home. I asked her to write a little piece for our newsletter, our church newsletter, which she did. And when she wrote it, she emailed it to me. And I sat and cried, because what I had told her about her life changing was absolutely true. Her life had changed due to that trip, and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. Now on to the lesson. It has been the last time I stood in front of a whole bunch of people, adult people, and taught a lesson of any sort. My son wasn't born. My husband and I were living in Parkersburg, and we left there 29 years ago. So forgive me if I sound and act nervous. It's because I am. With that, we'll try to get started here. Our lesson today is entitled Christ's Church and the Law. And if I can figure out how this thing works, I've never seen one like this before. I think on the screen you will see a genealogy that goes from Adam to, between this slide and the next one, it goes from Adam clear through Jesus. And if you look at those all the way down through, I have never totally verified the accuracy of the dates for those genealogies, but it's one that I used with my son and my two daughters when I was homeschooling them years ago. And the way that the messages of God have been passed down from one generation to the next, from Adam to Seth to Moses to all the way through down to Jesus' time, is nothing short of a miracle. And from Jesus' time to ours, the same. Every single person that has passed down the messages of God has been through a miracle of God. From in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, clear to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Every single word in this Bible is a miracle of God. Our lesson brought out the fact that God's church is something like a relay team. And what I had wanted to do, I decided not to do this, but what I had wanted to do was get 6 volunteers. Our lesson talked about Adam, from Adam to Noah, from Noah to Abraham, from Abraham to Moses, from Moses to Jesus, and from Jesus to the remnant. And I wanted to take 6 different people and line them up actually set them in spaces around the room, and have a Bible taken from one spot to the next, to the next, to the next, and all the way around, to kind of illustrate the idea that God's law, which is embodied in this Bible, is what's constant through the Bible. His law and His grace are what are constant, and that's what our lesson was bringing out today. But Cheryl asked us to, or asked me, there were several of us that were going to do this, and when I volunteered, I was one of several. At least that was what was in my mind. But what I would like for us to do is to kind of break up in groups of three and four for a few minutes, and each section, I want you to answer the question that I'm going to place on the board according to a time frame that I'm going to give you. To my left, I want you to take Adam to Noah. The time frame Adam to Noah. The center section from Noah to Abraham, and the far section I want you to do from Abraham to Moses. I'm going to put a question on the board. I want you to break up. Actually, let's. Why don't we break up into groups first, and then I will put the question on the board or on the screen, and I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to discuss the question within your small group. If you can answer the question based on Scripture, that would be fantastic to have some Scripture involved in it. And after the 3 minutes are up, I will ask for maybe three or four volunteers to give a report of what your group came up with. All right, so if you'll break into groups of three or four right now, and as my students would say, well, what's the question? Well, just break up into groups, and then I'll tell you the question. What's that?
You can even make your group bigger that way.
Okay, that's true. If you need to make your group five or six in a group, that's fine. You can't see it yet. All right. Hopefully everybody's in a group. And here is your first question. How was God's law revealed in your time frame? So this group, how was God's law revealed from Adam to Noah? The middle group, how was God's law revealed from Noah to Abraham? And the far group over here, how was God's law revealed from Abraham to Moses? Okay. Time's up. And I want you to know that usually my students are the ones hollering, no, we need more time, we need more time. Well, behind me I heard, give them more time, give them more time. So, all right. Somewhere in the audience, I think I should have a roving microphone running around. Okay. From Adam to Noah, do I have any volunteers for what your group came up with? How was God's law revealed? Any volunteers to talk?
The law wasn't written in tablets of stone until way after. From Adam to Noah, there was no tablets. But like Judy was saying, she said that that just like Jesus has summarized it, you know, love the Lord thy God and then your neighbor, as you know, it was at the beginning the same way too. And we imagine that the law of God was written in the hearts and the minds of people. And that's how, you know, it was revealed during that time, because there was nothing written. It was just something that God had put within their hearts.
Okay.
And then later on it got lost because of sin and so forth and slavery. But during that time, that's what we think.
Okay, anyone else from this side? Way in the back.
Okay, I'll quote where I can. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Verse 3, "And he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." And so we see that he already marked out a day as special. And then in chapter 3, it talks about the trees. "Of all the trees you may freely eat, but he reserved one tree for himself that they weren't to treat as they treated all the other trees." So we already see God, you know, defining commands that we can see laws that we could violate.
Very good. Anyone else? Maybe one more from here.
Through that period, it was transmitted verbally from one person to another, originating from God himself. He spoke the law and told and explained that to Adam and Eve before they fell. And he also spoke directly to Cain here in Genesis 4. It says, "Cain's was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Even speaking to Cain when he had disobeyed. So God was, in this sense, he was reiterating the law.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. The other two groups will get their turn with the next two questions that we have to answer, or to give us some feedback afterwards. We're going to go on to our second question. And in the lesson, it had said, "The world into which Noah was born was worse than any society that had ever existed," which means that it must have been pretty bad. I can't quite fathom it being worse than we have now, but apparently it was. My next question for all of you to answer in your own time frames: how did evil manifest itself? Get back in your groups and discuss, how did evil manifest itself in your time frame? This one's a little tougher. I'm not hearing as much talk. Okay, your time is up. All right, let's see. Anyone from the center section, from Noah to Abraham? Anyone want to tell us what their group came to the conclusion of? How did evil manifest itself? Sharon.
Well, we came to the conclusion that it manifested itself from the evil doings of the people, that they were not following God's commandments. And you said a Bible verse would be good. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 13. "And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So the earth was filled with violence by the people. So that was how evil was manifesting itself.
Okay.
Through the people not obeying God.
Okay. Anyone else from the center section? There's a couple towards the back.
We were kind of looking at the same time frame as back in Noah's day, and we talked about how in the New Testament talks about where as in Noah's day, it'll be, you know, before the coming of Jesus, that's how it's going to be. And we were talking about, well, how can that be? Things are pretty evil now, but back then they didn't have to use technology like we do now. You know, if you think about it that way, like, we have technology as an extension of us, but back then they didn't have to. They were brilliant. And so in Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of the man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So if you think about these human beings that were first created, how intelligent, how much of their brain they were using, it was all towards evil. So that, but now we have that because of technology. So
okay, very good. One way in the back, and then I really would like to have someone from each of the other sides do it, even though we didn't do that last time. I think it's important.
One of the other ways was through marriage. The daughters of men married the daughters of
the sons of God.
Yeah, the sons of God. What we would say today in the church, they married out of the church. Okay. That's what we would actually say.
Okay.
I lived in a strict religious home. My father would say, let's turn on the television, and my mother would say, let's go to church.
Uh-huh.
I was in between. Where do I go? What do I do? I'm glad I'm here today.
Praise the Lord.
But that was one of the things right there within marriage. Usually within marriage, when that happens, it usually goes downhill. Sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time it goes downhill.
Okay. All right. Let's look at from Abraham to Moses for a second. How did evil manifest itself there? Does anyone, just one from over on this side, raise your hand if you'd be willing to share. From Abraham to Moses, how did I see a hand? Here's one way down here in the front. Dr. Wance.
There are multiple examples that we came across, including Abraham's lying multiple times,
okay.
Abraham's lack of faith in God in answering the promise of giving children to him, Joseph's brothers trying to kill him,
yes,
and selling him into slavery, multiple things. But probably the most glaring example is found in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. When it says, then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, they became probably the foremost example of just concentrated sin in all of its various forms.
Okay, thank you. And how about over here, Adam to Noah? Anyone? poor Pastor Patterson. Anyone over here think they can? One hand here, over here.
Regarding evil.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have probably the biggest one, Genesis 3, where the serpent said, "And ye shall not surely die."
Ah.
Of course, we also have the biggest wonderful because we have the Genesis 3:15, the promise of the seed.
Yes. And along that lines, we will go on to our last question for my part of it. And that is, on Tuesday's lesson, it states, God called Abraham, a descendant of Shem, and made a covenant of blessing with him. The question for each of you to answer in your own groups first is, how did God reveal himself, and especially, how was his grace revealed in each of your time frames? How was grace revealed? Okay, time's up. So, third group, from Abraham to Moses. How did God reveal himself, and how was his grace revealed? Way in the back. Where's Pastor Ron? Way in the back.
We think of how gracious God was to Abraham and Sarah with the birth of Isaac. But even further in Galatians 3:6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed in and accepted the grace of God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So he took received that invitation to receive Christ even then.
Okay. Reminds us of Hebrews 11, doesn't it? All right. Who else over here on this side? Dr. Dale.
So along with Abraham as well, in Genesis 22, verse 12, so you had Isaac laying upon the altar there, because that's what God had asked him to do. And then through that very thing says, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So, you know, that was the whole essence of God's grace, to say that, you know, we didn't have to die. Yes. It was him that would die for us in our stead.
Yes, definitely. All right, in the center section, from Noah to Abraham, how did God reveal himself and how was his grace revealed? Who wants to appear?
I keep thinking about Noah, and the thought keeps coming to me, even though there was so much wickedness in the world, God told Noah to build the ark, but he just didn't build it in a month or two or three or 1 year. God gave the people 120 years
yes.
to be warned
yes.
and to be saved. And on Thursday's lesson, sorry, I'm skipping, Kathy.
You're
it's
fine.
The very first sentence says, since Eden, God's church has always been filled with fallible people, which that's us too. But God, as he sent Noah to preach and for 120 years and give people time, he gives us the Bible and the spirit of prophecy to give us time and to help others find the Lord and be saved.
Yes, praise the Lord. How many of us would be willing to give our children 120 years? To get it right when we tell them to do something. I'm pretty sure none of us would. over here, from Adam to Noah. Anyone? Dennis Murphy.
Gentleman in the back was the first hand.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I'm going to try to get to you.
You know, in Genesis 6 verse 7 it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So then the very next verse it says, but Noah found grace. There's our grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
And so the Lord was fed up, but Noah found grace. And if it hadn't been for that grace, we wouldn't have the chance to be
Amen.
In heaven. So that's the grace that the Lord gave us. And fortunately, Noah found that grace. And through that grace, we're all able to be here today.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you. And I want to thank you all for making my part of this much easier. Elder Bogus, it's your turn.
Thank you, Jackie. You made my part very easy. We're almost out of time.
About the law and Christ and how the law was evident down through history. And yet the Sabbath School Quarterly brings out the point that there were other people besides these Bible characters who were living for God. And there was evil all around them. And because of their faith, they were accounted righteous. And the last part of our lesson covers the period from Moses down to the remnant church. And as I studied the lesson, I thought, I think I heard some of this stuff during this week. You know? And I thought, wow, that's a good summary. Just remember what we heard this week. All right? Anyway, there's a couple of verses in the Bible that has been alluded to already. In Galatians 3, verse 7, it says, knowing ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are Abraham's seed. We're part of that covenant that God promised. And it was the faith in the promised one that got them through. And then as we think about the remnant church in Thursday's lesson, I couldn't help but hear, I believe it was Paul talking about this in your lecture, the last one, in Revelation chapter, well, there's two texts in the Thursday's lesson that is given to us concerning the remnant church, all right? Revelation 12, 17, these are very familiar verses for us all, but there it says that the remnant keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So the law is, again, going to be the center, one of the centerpieces for the people living just before Jesus comes, just as it has been the centerpiece for people down through the centuries. And this quarter, we've talked about the law and nothing to be feared. It's a transcript of God's character. And as it has been down through the centuries, we who live in these last days, it too will be a centerpiece of our lives. And then in Revelation chapter 14, okay, that's in our lesson. Here it says in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that, what? Keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And so this quarter, as we've talked about the law, I hope it's helped us to understand that the law is there to help us to see Jesus and to focus on Him, because it points out our great need of a Savior. And then it tells us a little bit about, in Friday's section, it talks about the three angels' messages. And it says this in the quarterly, the love that Jesus manifested for the souls of men in the sacrifice which He made for their redemption will actuate all of His followers. And I can't forget that the first angel's message says what? Fear God and worship. And I believe, Paul, you were the one that brought it out. The three areas, mind, body, and soul. And the Bible says that we are to love God how? With all of our... Yeah, speak up. All right? That's what it says. And so as we enter into the closing hours and days of Earth's history, it's going to take everything, body, soul, and mind, being committed to Jesus, that's going to get us through. All right? It isn't how good we are, but it's how good Jesus is. Okay? And this quarter's lesson, or this Sabbath's lesson, I thought really helped us to understand that even though we serve a very righteous God, most of the individuals that we looked at, were they perfect? No. They made mistakes just like we do, and we'll make mistakes too. But thanks be unto God, we have a Savior. And as the Gospel says in the New Testament, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you what? Sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So let us, again, the challenge of being totally committed. And that includes, as the children sang, we need to watch what we read, watch what we listen to, because our whole bodies are challenged to be dedicated fully to God. May God bless us as we continue to serve him. And indeed, may we each one make the Ten Commandments that which we love to do because we love Jesus. That's the whole thing when it comes, if you love me, if you love me, then we will delight to do thy will, O Lord. May God bless us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Sabbath school, time in which we can each one get into your word and study these wonderful subjects that have been brought to us. And this quarter, Heavenly Father, we've traced how you have revealed yourself down through the centuries. And the motivation and the patience that you have had with us. Oh Lord, may we each be thankful that you are a God of love. You love us with an everlasting love, and that you are very patient, and we thank you for that. Help us to indeed commit our lives, body, soul, and mind to you. In Jesus' name, amen.